Welcome, everyone, to the Fantasy Football Profit Podcast. I'm Craig Phillips, joined as always by Jeff Torrey, and we're back after a few months off. It's been a little bit here. It's been, I don't even remember the last time we recorded. It was middle of last season. We took a break after that, and it's been a nice little break, but we figure we come back with free agency, and a lot of stuff happened. A lot of stuff. So I felt like it was wrong if we didn't come talk about it a little bit here, and because it got me excited about the season, even though we're like 6 months away. But I wanted to talk about the winners of free agency, whether or not it's players, teams, just basically fantasy relevant situations for me. So let's just jump into it, Jeff. I wanted to talk about first, my biggest winner of this whole free agency is actually just going to be the Atlanta Falcons offense. Like the skill players, mainly Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. And actually now their secondary weapons now are Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore, which are good to have too. But getting Kirk Cousins there, so they actually have a real quarterback. I love this for those guys. For Bijan, Drake London, I think, could become really good. Pitts could become really good. I absolutely love getting Kirk Cousins for this offense. I think they're going to be, I mean, how are they not good? How will they not be good? No more. There's no Arthur Smith there. He's gone. We'll talk about him some other time because he's at a new team. But I mean, this offense should be awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, I was laughing because I wasn't sure who your number one was going to be. Yeah. But my number one overall was going to be Drake London.
Yeah.
And I agree with you.
Drake London's going to be the biggest jump.
Yeah, everyone gets helped out in a big, big way moving Cousins over there. They just couldn't find a good fit with a quarterback. And we both agree that we didn't like the coaching either last year. But take that off the table either way. I think Drake London finally gets to play the way he can play. Kyle Pitts, it puts him back into the discussion because after last year, I was ready to write him off. And then Bijan, we already saw what he could be. I think that is more of a coaching thing, but I do think this one will stabilize it. So I feel really, really good about him moving forward for the next few years. So I agree with you. I think this does huge, huge things for those players. And as of right now, no one's really ranking consistently or very aggressively. So they're still relatively low.
That's my worry. That is my worry. Yeah. It's like Drake London specifically. I think this benefits him more than anybody.
I agree.
I worry about once we get further into, closer to the season, where does he end up going? And that's my only thing that can stop this is they just get ranked too high. Bijan's not. Bijan's going to be top three running back ranked probably. And that's his value. That's where he should be.
He should be.
It's going to be what? McCaffrey, it's Bijan, like who else? Brees Hall?
Well, we'll go into it. But,
he's one of those guys and that's where he should be. So I have no problem with that.
No.
Drake London's going to be interesting because he hasn't done it, but I absolutely think he can.
And the guys he's going to be jumping over aren't guaranteed. So I really I don't think he'll get moved up too much because even though everyone's going to see this, I think they're going to get bored of it. Mm-hmm. Where as soon as the draft hits, and we'll get into this in another episode, but like the Bears, everyone's going to be talking about Caleb Williams. Everyone's going to be talking about Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, what they can do and get, in my opinion, I can already see that one getting overhyped.
Yeah.
I will, creep back into the shadows and I'll try to grab a Drake London and hopefully he stays in the mid 20s where I think is a good value still. But who knows, maybe he'll go up a little more than he should, but it, at least it'll give a little bit of nuance to it. And same thing with tight end, tight end is still it didn't get any better from last year. And the fact that Kyle Pitts is ranked currently at number 8, obviously, this is Fantasy Pros and it's super, super early. But that he might move up a couple, but I don't know. I'm very intrigued to find out if he's fool's gold or not because he has all the tools. We already know that.
I'm probably going to buy into the hype. Because honestly, because the position is still not great.
Well, it comes down to who else. I mean, I laugh at this one too because at this point, the draft has not occurred yet. And Brock Bowers is already ranked at number 9.
Jeez.
So he's not even on a team and they're like, he's going to be.
Well, and so now you can see how Laporta did is going to make people buy into rookie tight ends now too.
Laporta is currently ranked number 1 on Fantasy Pros.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
he was good.
Yeah. Travis Kelce, number 3. They're finally cooling on him after we were, especially you were yelling at the top of your lungs, like, hey, he's not going to be bad. but sell.
Oh man, hopefully people listened.
Yeah,
I felt at one point he had like one great week, and I'm like, oh no, I was wrong. But no, yeah. I was right.
But anyway, so Atlanta offense, number one benefit.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's the number two in your mind?
It's going to be Saquon.
Okay, I completely agree again.
Yeah, and it's a lot of things. I mean, getting off of the Giants, who've just not been good. The guy, I mean, Saquon's amazing, and he's been on a bad team pretty much his whole career. Never been able to showcase it. Now he gets to go to the Eagles, who have, I mean, look at Miles Sanders 2 years ago. 11 touchdowns Miles Sanders had 2 years ago. And he helped that, he made Miles Sanders seem better, and I bought into it last year. But why can't Saquon do that? I mean, in Swift last year at the beginning of the year was really good. And at times, Saquon should be awesome here. There's one other thing I think could happen is I could see less of Jalen Hurts' goal line touchdowns and more to Saquon. And there's a couple of factors. One, that it's they have Saquon now, right? Another thing is they have no Jason Kelce anymore, which I think could have been a huge factor in the tush push play and how Jalen Hurts was able to score. Maybe it's not, but I mean, you got to think, like, other teams have tried it and no one seemed to be as successful. Maybe it was Jason Kelce was why that worked so well. So maybe they're not going to go to it as much. And Saquon should have, I mean, it's a good team. It's a good offensive line. It's the best offensive line he's ever played for. Best team he's ever been on. He's a great talent. How is he not going to have an awesome year?
I mean, DeAndre Swift is not a scrub or anything like that. But for a moment, I'm going to sound like I'm bagging on him.
Yeah.
I think his skill set is very, very good. And there's a reason why Chicago really wanted him. He can do a lot of really good things in the passing game and whatnot. I don't think that they probably utilized him as much as they possibly could have. And I don't think that was a bad thing in Philly. But he was over 1,000 yards rushing, and then he was also able to catch, you know, over 200 yards and 6 touchdowns total. He was a very, very good option for them. They have always had a lot of depth at the running back position. They're always throwing out a bunch of people. I agree with you. They haven't had a talented back like Saquon, because Saquon isn't made all that often. He is, like, I know we get really excited about the new guys. Bijan is the new guy. Saquon might be the most talented back in our lifetime. Like, he is up there. Like, he's that good.
He is.
So it'll be very interesting. And watching the Eagles last year and how they were able to open gaping holes, not just because their line is very good, which it is, and losing Kelce does hurt, but not only because their line is so good, because everyone is so freaking afraid of Hurts running on them all the time. And they did fall off at the end of last year. That hurts everyone's numbers. I think Saquon isn't like the key to turn it all around in Philly. But as far as fantasy goes, I think he's going to be lights out. I mean, I really do. I think he is going to find so much open space that I don't think defenses will know what to do. Like, watching DeAndre Swift running through holes that I could run through.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous early on.
Like, I would make it only 2 yards because I wouldn't be able to break away. But, like, but it was incredible. I was like, no matter who you put into that position, they would have looked like a really good running back. Swift is also very quick. He's very good. But yeah, Saquon's another level. I think he is going to really show what he can do. I'm thinking, and once again, I'm not looking at rookie numbers like for Saquon where they gave him every touch, because that is a Super Bowl hopeful team, and they're going to have to do a lot of things very, very well. And Hurts will cut into it a little bit, but he is, once again, it's football age. Like, if you're actually that good and you're not struggling at the end of the year, I think you would, you know, and you would want to keep Saquon healthy too, but the quarterback is always a little more important. So I do think that things will shake up, and I really hope that they design a lot of plays as far as dumping it off to Saquon more than they did with Swift, which I was surprised they didn't do a little bit more. I think he's going to be incredibly dynamic.
Yep. I'm excited for it. All right. I had one more guy, one more winner, and it was Marquise Brown is my other winner. I think this is an awesome spot for him. Good player who just wasn't in Arizona, was not in a good spot for him to get it to work, but he's a really good player. And he's the Chiefs' best receiver right now. I mean, he's different receiver than Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is good, but Brown's a different receiver, and they don't have a guy like that. So,
no, I mean, he's head and shoulders. He has shown he's still young, but right now in this part of his career, he has played. He can do the deep threat. He can do the intermediate. We've seen the flashes. He just has been on offenses and teams that don't rely on his skill set or have just been in disarray like it was in Arizona, right?
Yep.
I mean, I really do think, once again, it all depends. Does Mahomes and him connect on the field? That'll be the big test. Yep. But I am shocked that they were able to win the Super Bowl when their wide receivers were so lackluster at times.
They weren't good.
And really. I think Hollywood will give him a guy to throw to other than Kelce all the time.
Yep.
And Kelce is coming down to earth a bit too. He was on that wild, wild run where he was looking like possibly the greatest tight end of all time.
And he's
still incredibly good, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you take a few of those receptions away.
Yeah, he's going to be 35 years old, though, this season. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't last forever.
Not the end-all, be-all for tight ends, but at the same time, we've never seen a tight end of his, like, pass-catching capabilities last this long yet.
No.
I mean, Tony Gonzalez, but, you know, Kelce has been much more of a wide receiver than a...
Brown should have... He should have a really good year. I just don't see how it doesn't work out for him. He should be really good.
Yes.
So those are my winners. You got any others that I did not cover?
No one...
Those are the main ones, I think.
Those are the really the big ones for me. I think that there has been so much shakeup that... I'm not sure. Like, you can make a case for like Josh Jacobs. You can make a case for, but I don't think a lot of these, even though they shook up the sports world for like a day, you look at it and you're like, how much does that actually change things for Jacobs?
Yeah.
I don't know if it really moves the needle too much. I don't know if I think he's a little bit better than Aaron Jones and it helps, you know, Green Bay out a little bit, but those ones don't really move the needle. Same thing with like Keenan Allen moving to Chicago. Yeah. I think that'll help, you know, Caleb Williams when he eventually comes there. But overall,
well, and there's some other situations where there's not exciting running backs that are currently the main guys in their backfields, but we won't know until draft if they really are the guy or not. Like, is Devin Singletary the guy in the Giants? I mean,
I think for this year,
but are they going to draft somebody?
I'm kind of hoping they do because I think people will sleep on Singletary a bit.
It's guys like that we got to wait and see what happens in the draft to know if they're anything. And then I still won't even be that excited about them. But
well, how do you? The only one I will bring up, and once again, I don't think this moves a needle for him, but I think it is a different setup, and that would be Derrick Henry. How do you think that?
Yeah, so that could be the other one. Yeah, so the problem, because the only thing that made me hesitant is like, I guess it's the same thing we've been hesitant for years is how can he keep going? But I was thinking about this earlier, this specific situation, and it almost feels like maybe it's not even like he was bad, but like when Mark Ingram came there a couple of years ago and was really good for that year, why Henry can do that. And he'd be better than that. And I don't think he lost a little bit, but I don't think it was that drastic. I think the team was just worse.
I mean, he's going to a much better team.
Yeah. He could be really good. It's a perfect fit. It's perfect. Like, I'll say he's a winner in that regard. The problem is the only thing that makes it weird to say is because I think he's going to be lower in the ranks than he was last year.
Yeah. That's... Well, and here's the thing. I really do think just the way that they work and with his age and everything, I think he will get less carries than he has. But if Baltimore is as good as we think they can be, because they were the team everyone thought was going to win the Super Bowl going into the playoffs. If they're that team again and they're really moving the ball, he could get less touches, more touchdowns, and more, just easier holes to run through.
Gus Edwards had 13 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there you go. He can do that.
Yeah. So I feel like that is the, that's where I
think
I'm
it's a,
like
I think could, it's a perfect, it's a perfect spot.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect spot.
Agree.
And he actually could be good value as your running back too.
Yeah.
So, all right.
How do you feel? We could go all day on this, but the last one I'll ask and then we'll be done. Yeah. But how do you view Pollard currently?
That's interesting. I think that backfield, it's going to be one of those backfields where I might like Spears better and he's probably going to go lower in drafts. So I think if I'm going to take any of those players, it'll be Spears because I'm just going to want to take the guy who you can get later in that kind of backfield. That's the only where I don't think Pollard was actually bad last year. I just don't think he got touchdowns.
Yeah. I don't think Dallas did him any favors.
I don't know. It's an interesting one. Not sure what to think.
I like his game, but I also don't know what that offense is going to look like. And it might bury him a bit.
I think it might be very split.
Yeah.
Very split between the two. And probably just something I might avoid. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But all right, there we go. There's some winners. I think there's some really good spots there for a couple of those guys. So that'll do it for this one. Talk to you guys next time.